So if you imagine an object that is a television, that's a radio, that's a computer, that has an incredible sound system, you imagine all of those functionalities, all of those technologies, you imagine them converging into one object. What should that object be? What on earth should it look like?
Hello! Welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah, joining me from the Cult of Mac hot tub. He's got big old buys and rock hard thighs.
Oh! Buster. Dude, pop off the top, Irfan, the water's nice.
Pass me that champagne, won't you, pal?
beers only in this hot tub. Sorry, we're not fancy folk.
Yeah, float one over to me if you would. If you don't mind, you could stop rubbing my back here for a minute and just grab me one of those beers.
Okay, sorry.
Any chance we get to do the show just mano a mano, we hop into the old Cult of Mac hot tub and just do it live from here. You know, why not be cozy with your platonic man friend? Yeah. Talk about Apple. Just a normal situation for two normal dudes. Well, Leander is not here, as you may have surmised. He is on the ski slopes of where?
The Lake Tahoe.
You went to Lake Tahoe.
Oh, dude, just sending it all over the lake. Probably hitting some steezy
jumps. Probably not
jumps.
Intentionally.
Yeah. Flips.
I just picture him up there in his Kangol hat. He's probably wearing like his just normal outfit, and he's on skis.
He's just like, oh, yeah.
Do you actually know if Leander actually knows how to ski?
I know they've gone to Tahoe. They usually go to Tahoe once a year. So, yeah, I think he does. Probably not.
I thought he
was
just like a chalet buddy. Yeah. He just sits in like the chalet and drinks hot chocolate.
Yeah, he's a totally unathletic, awkward, uncoordinated British guy. So
I don't know what it is about the idea of, forgive me, British people that listen, of which I know we have many. The idea of like a British person skiing seems totally strange to me.
Oh, haven't you heard
of? I don't
of,
know why. Because I don't think they have a lot of like ski mountains in the UK.
No, but you've heard of Eddie the Eagle though, right?
It rings a bell, but I couldn't tell you.
He was like
a
British ski jumper from like the 80s, and he was like totally horrible, but everybody loved him because he was just like this lovable loser who was totally goofy. You should look him up. He's awesome.
Oh, wow. Well, actually, I feel like you're describing
<Leander?
Yeah. laughs> someone that we know. Well, yeah, Leander's not, he's going to be up on the slopes all day, and let's hope that he gets back in one piece, because if he does get Cindy, I don't think it's going to be on purpose. It's going to be him skiing on a cliff on accident, since he doesn't know what any of the ski signs actually mean. That's okay, though. We got so many good things to talk about this week. We're going to, of course, cover what's new in iOS 10.3, what's new in Mac OS 10.12.4. Buster and I have both been using these for a while, actually, and I was just saying before we started recording, I'm like, I don't even know what's new in these anymore, because I've been using them for so long. It just feels like everything, all the features feel normal to me now.
That's the way it is, right?
We'll talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the Samsung Galaxy S8 for just a minute, just to make some comparisons to the upcoming iPhone. That's all we'll say about it. We've got some news about the new iPhone. And if you stay tuned till the end, we've done this segment before and we're bringing it back again. We're gonna be doing the weird and wacky Apple products that time forgot. We've come up with some more stuff. And I felt like last time we didn't really get weird enough. Like we brought up some products that most people had probably heard of. And this time I dug deep and I have a product here that I guarantee you 98% of the people out there have absolutely never heard of. It's totally bizarre. And I actually wish that Apple, that's all I'll say at this moment. I don't want to give anything away. So we'll do that at the end of the show. Before we do the news, though, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace, of course, is where you need to head if you need a website for your business. If you're doing something new in 2017, you need a web presence, and everyone does these days. Head over to squarespace.com. You can sign up for a 2-week free trial and build a website, use it, and then decide if you want to continue your service. And what I love about Squarespace is I come from a developer's background, so I've built websites from scratch. It's incredibly complicated. It's incredibly expensive. The first time I used Squarespace, I was truly surprised. Not only do they make it easy to build a website, their website looks beautiful. They have these templates that you can select from, and then via their drag and drop system, you can customize everything. I mean, it's so easy to make the website look uniquely yours, change the color schemes, change the fonts, add image galleries. I don't think there's anyone that makes it easier than Squarespace, and your website will look good on any device that visits. So they'll customize your website, shrink all the images, make the videos just the right size so that if someone visits on an iPhone, your website looks great. If someone visits on a PC, it looks great. It's a wonderful service. I use it to host the cultcast.com, where we keep a lot of the show notes, and also the cultcloth.co is hosted on Squarespace as well. I pay them too. They're not just giving it to me for free. I use the service, I pay for the service, and I recommend that if you need a website, you check it out, squarespace.com. And if you decide to continue your trial after the 2 weeks, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll get 10% off any order, squarespace.com, and use code CULTCAST at checkout. All right, dude, what should we start with first? Should we do the Galaxy S8?
Sure.
Start
out with the losers.
Good one, dude. Such a sick burn. So the Galaxy S8 just came out, and it will be exploding in pockets near you
next month.
Didn't the Samsung store actually catch fire?
Yeah, their store in Singapore or somewhere in Asia caught store the day before they announced the phone.
It's so good. I love it so much.
An early shipment of S8 units caught fire in the back, and they were like, oh.
Wait a second. Was it actually an S8 that caught fire?
No, that would just be too good.
Oh, okay. It was just like some irresponsible employee smoking in the back room.
Yeah, something like that.
Dude, I used to have a job. Have you heard of Office Max?
Oh, yeah.
I used to work at Office Max.
Oh, nice.
When I was like 15, I used to work there. And I worked with this big dude who smoked, and he would always go into the bathroom and smoke. You know, like Office Max, you can leave the building in like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Just walk to the front of the store and leave and smoke out there. And he didn't want to do that. He would always just go smoke in the bathroom. And no one ever caught him, but we knew it was him. So I'd always like question him about it and be like, dude, why are you smoking in the bathroom? And he's like, yeah, it wasn't me. And he would come out stinking like smoke. And I'm like, I know it was you, dude, because I used to smoke. And you can tell when someone smokes.
Yeah.
And he would never admit it. He would never leave the store. He just wanted to smoke in the bathroom. Maybe we had a similar situation here at the Samsung store. A little bit too much ash on the Samsung Galaxy S8 marketing material. Poof. So, it's the new hot phone from Samsung, and what are the marquee features, Buster?
Well, it's got a cute screen, very cute screen. It wraps around the full device. The design is, I think, the biggest feature, like, because it has minimal bezels. The Touch ID button or similar button is on the back instead of the front, and then it's got nice cameras. And
the camera is the same as the Galaxy S7, though, from what I was.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, from what I was reading, it's pretty much the exact same.
Oh, that's
camera.
So LeMay.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Lame.
Oh, LeMay.
Yeah.
Is that the French version? Yeah. I should have caught on to that.
Iris scanning and wireless charging.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, and the reason I wanted to bring this up, is because you go through like the hot, cool features, mm-hmm. and it sounds like basically everything that we're expecting in the new iPhone edition or iPhone 8, whatever they end up calling it. And it's interesting to me because if the phones have the same form factor, right, if they're both bezel-less, full glass displays, have iris scanning, at that point, it makes it really hard for people to discern which phone is which. They just kind of look like the same phone. And it's going to be harder for Apple to distinguish themselves as a premium product, in my opinion, if it looks exactly like the Galaxy phone.
I don't know about that, because then you're saying like there's no way for Apple to establish itself the last 9 years when other people were copying the looks of the iPhone just because the iPhone looked the same. I get what you're saying, though. You know, the S8 does look premium, and so how is Apple gonna distinguish itself if, you know, I also think software always comes into play there too. Like, it's always about the software as much as the hardware. And from
it is, but the software isn't immediately visible. You know, you don't see it until you turn the phone on.
Yeah, but from some early hands-on things I read about the S8, some people that did get to sit, hold it and touch it and use it, they said, like, hardware, awesome, software sucks. Because, again, Samsung puts, like, all of its bloatware on top of everything.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Anytime I've ever had to use an Android phone, that's always it's always the feeling that I've come away with is the software sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's powerful, but from speaking aesthetically, the software it's just looks like a lot crap. It doesn't look good.
Right.
And I actually don't like the super saturated icons and the super saturated screens. And there's no uniformity in the design. It just kind of seems really disheveled and like a bunch of crap was just thrown in there. If I had to go Android, I would do like a Pixel. I would go pure Android.
Right. If they
and
had
that way, you're getting the actual updates as well.
Yeah. If they had the S8 or S8 Plus with pure stock Android O or whatever letter they're on, that would be like pretty compelling. But all the extra Samsung crap added on top.
Bullshit. Yeah.
And you know, Android gets hacked way easier than iPhone. So you know, I'm not. About
and then
that.
They never updated either. Yeah. You just whatever you get, it's like cell phones of old. You know, whatever operating system you get is just the one you have forever.
Right. Whereas Apple's always like supporting phones for at least 4 years, usually with iOS updates.
Well, since we're already talking about iOS, we also got iOS 10.3. Which, if you've been using the betas, you've already had it for a while. And I'm actually just on the betas permanently now. So whenever Apple releases a new beta, I use it on iOS because there's really no reason not to. Like, you're always getting the newest crap. It's free. And to me, it seems like the best way to go. Are you running the betas as well?
I always do, on especially the incremental updates, like iOS 10.3. With it, when like iOS 11 comes out, I'm sure I'll like install it and then use it for a couple days and then take it off and go back to what really works. Because
you think it's going to break everything?
Yeah, because usually those ones like break a lot of features in your apps. Even iOS 10.3, it broke my Hue Light app for like a week. So until like a new
update.
What
did it do to it?
It's just like every time I tried to open the Hue Lights app, it would just crash. Like
it would just fart out?
Yeah, so I had to turn on my lights manually for a whole week.
God. Oh, dude. God.
You know how hard that was?
That was a rough week.
Yeah. Jeez.
Have you sought professional help to work through that?
Not yet.
Man,
Apple fixed
it. Consider that. Yeah, okay, well, I guess at least it's working now. And what new features did we get in iOS 10.3? I honestly don't even remember. I've been using this for so long.
Nothing major.
What are the marquee features?
Find My AirPods. If you have AirPods, you can find them through the Find My iPhone app. The new Apple file system, which is way more secure and SSD friendly for
It's built for the new age.
Yeah.
Really.
And
without getting super technical into it, I mean, the other file system they were using was like 30 years old and was built at a time where you still had floppy drives. So now this is the file system of, you know, of
the future.
2017 and beyond. Yeah, exactly. You're using features technology today.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
But
right.
You don't notice any of those changes as a user. So
no, you don't.
Yeah. So
at all.
So Apple file system, cool on the back end, not something you're gonna use. So a couple other like and transition animation tweaks.
Yeah, which kind of make the phone feel like it's moving more quickly, even though I don't think it is.
No, probably not. But
it feels that way.
Yeah, you're spending less time looking at the pretty eye candy transitions.
Yeah.
And then the biggest change. Oh, also I was custom. What is it? Customized. App icons.
Oh, customized app icons.
Or dynamic
right.
icons, whatever. You can go into some apps and change what you want the app icon to look like. The MLB and National Hockey League apps, they already support this, so you can like go into the settings of the app and change it to switch to your team. So your team shows up on the app icon instead of the NHL logo or something. So that's pretty cool. I can't wait for other apps.
Do you know if the actual icon can dynamically update any kind of information, or is it just the aesthetic that you're changing?
I think it's just the aesthetic. I don't think it actually moves like the weather or the settings app, Like, doesn't that mm-hmm. like churn mm-hmm. when you're like
yeah,
updating?
Whenever it's doing something.
And then mm-hmm. I think the weather icon updates dynamically now too, doesn't it?
It does. And I wish that they would allow developers to create icons that change based upon conditions that you set.
Yeah.
You know?
It would be so nice if you could just see new information right on that little tile or some like indicator that tells you something important is underneath there or something, you know?
Totally. Like I use Fantastical as my main calendar, but only Apple's calendar app has a dynamic icon. So whenever you look at the calendar app, it has the current date.
Yeah.
And you can't do that easily with Fantastical. You can set it up, I think, so that it has like a notification icon on it that will tell you the date, but it's totally lame.
Oh,
like,
that's lame.
Yeah, they need to make it so that they can actually control their icons and include some type of information in it.
Yeah.
And you could do that on Windows Phone, which is one of the best features about Windows Phone. But I was hoping Apple would steal it, but alas, we're still left with the lame, the lame.
The lame static icons. Go.
That's right. So lame. All right. Mac OS 10.12.4 also got the new Apple file system. Got the new, what's it called? Night shift mode.
Night shift.
Which I love. Probably one of my favorite features that Apple's introduced in the last 5 years.
Yeah, that was worth updating for it.
Dude, it works so well. If you switch back and forth between night shift and regular mode, it's at night, you will literally feel your body changing states.
Literally?
Night shift mode makes the screen yellowish. You can kind of control how warm it is. It takes like that blue tone out of your screen, which at least for me, maybe I'm hypersensitive to it. It keeps me awake for hours and hours and hours. Like I used to stay up until way too late into the early morning reading Reddit, right? Because you're on your iPad in bed and it's just like you're just totally awake because that blue light is shining at you. And with that yellow light, I can read my iPad and actually still get tired to a point where I'm like, I have to put my iPad down because I'm going to fall asleep with it on my chest.
Yeah.
And I've turned that on my Mac now so I don't stay up late on like, you know, it's like Saturday night. Do you do this? Like you put on a movie and it's late. You're kind of like winding down and then you just sit there while the movie's going, browsing the internet.
Oh yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. I need a movie in the background while I surf the internet. Oh no, I need to surf the internet while this movie is fucking boring. You know, it's like,
we're so bad.
I'll be on my MacBook and then I'll be like, oh no, I need to check my Instagram while I'm doing this too. Yeah. You know,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or you'll be doing the movie with your Mac and then you're like, oh, I want to check Instagram too. You're sitting there on your iPhone with your Mac in your lap while a movie's going.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, this is not the way the good Lord intended us to live. This is not good.
Or is it? Like
maybe it is. We're transcending our inferior selves into future beings. Did you see that article that Elon Musk is starting another company to further the integration of human and AI technology? So he wants to create like a hybrid,
integrate
with your brain,
cyborgs and stuff. I'm all for it. I think it's, you know, the inevitable future that we're all going to have to become cyborgs in order to.
You think so?
Well, in order to like keep up with the machines that we're making, yeah, you know, like I'm sure like eventually people are going to elect to cut off their limb and replace it with a cybernetic limb.
I think we're several years away from that.
Well, it's going to happen though.
I'll tell you who should be scared though, the people that make Viagra, because eventually there's just going to be a switch for that.
Turn on Horny Mode, please. Thank you, Siri.
You turn it on, it's like, yo. You're like, all right, ready to party. Yeah, dude, that's just crazy. I can you imagine being the guy who's going to test out that stuff? They're like, we're going to implant this chip in your brain and see what happens. And you're like, ah, cool, let's do it. I don't think I'm going to be the first guy to sign up for that study.
Oh,
no thanks. Even though you probably get like $200-$300.
Oh, I was hoping a couple grand.
Maybe, but you also might end up with RoboCock. So my work in your favor.
Yeah, I don't see that as a negative, really.
Yeah, the more I talk about it, the more I think that this might be a win-win.
That's even better.
That's right. I think that's it about the software releases. There was a rumor out this week that, a somewhat sketchy rumor, I should say, that the 10th anniversary iPhone, which is coming up probably in September, Some people are calling it the iPhone 8. We've told you there was a rumor out there that it might be called the iPhone Edition. I kind of hope they just go with iPhone 8. I hate this whole edition crap. And especially now that they're simplifying the naming conventions, I think it would make more sense to call it the iPhone Pro. And that way you feel good about yourself paying a little bit more money.
Yeah.
The iPhone Edition, it doesn't seem like nomenclature that they should continue using. It's they're only using it for the watch at this point, and it's a little clumsy. I kind of like iPhone Pro better. But there was a rumor that came out that said the form factor may turn out to be less drastic than we've heard previously, and that even though it will include a front glass display, all glass display, it's not going to have a glass back. It's going to be a metal back, which immediately makes my BS alarm turn on, because how are you going to have wireless charging if you have a metal back?
Mm-hmm.
Because from what I understand, the metal heats up, which is why you can't do metal on a wireless charging phone.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why Apple was supposedly moving to a all glass body. So we'll have to wait and see about that. But they also said that there might be a Touch ID sensor on the back instead of having a screen that integrates some type of new Touch ID, you know, integrated into the entire screen. What is your gut feeling about what we're going to see for this?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, the rumors just seem like they're all over the place on this phone. Like, half of them I feel like are made up. Like, this one you're talking about, new design, but no glass back. So then the wireless charging can't work. But maybe we won't get wireless charging this year. It's so hard. Like, there hasn't been any until I see physical proof on a lot of these rumors, I'm just not going to get my hopes up, I think.
As we get closer, we'll start seeing leaked parts.
Right, which we
and that's when we're actually going to know for sure.
Which, yeah, they should start coming up out any month soon now. Like, some first, like, production run cases and stuff like that and shells. So
you think they'd come out soon? Really? It's almost April.
I'm pretty sure last year the iPhone 7 case leaked by this time. Last year, or one of them, like one of the early pre-production type of cases for it.
Definitely within 3 months of the release date, we'll start having a much more concrete idea of what we're going to be getting from Apple. Because, I mean, Apple's probably, they may even have contingency plans in place at this point where they're not even sure what they're going to release yet. That's right. A possibility. I would guess they're manufacturing at this point because they have to make so many, and we've heard rumors that they are.
Yeah.
But I mean, anything can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, right? You never really know, like you said, until they actually have some hardware that's being shown.
And yeah, and then even then, like, so I was looking just now, like March 15th last year, there was a story on one of the rear shells that leaked for the iPhone 7, but it showed the smart connector on the bottom. So like even then, like
yeah,
a lot of the early leaks won't be accurate either.
I don't know if they're going to move to Touch ID on the back of the phone. That would make a lot of sense to me, if only because I don't think that Apple necessarily has the technology perfected where it turns the entire front of the display into a Touch ID sensor or a fingerprint sensor. And the back of the phone is such a perfect location for a Touch ID sensor, especially for a phone that's the size of the iPhone 7. You can just touch it on the back when you pick it up and unlock it.
Except when you want to use a case.
Oh yeah. Well, they'll make cutouts. I mean, they make cutouts for the Apple logo.
True.
But I mean, I guess if you had a thick case, that could seriously
ugly
inhibit your ability to touch the sensor.
Uh-huh.
What the hell do they do for the Galaxy phones? You know, like the cases have to be cut out for a sensor like that, or the Huawei phones. Those have back sensors.
Huawei.
I mean, a lot of the Androids have back sensors.
Yeah, a lot of them do. I just think it's ugly. Like, on the back.
I kind
of
do too, actually.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I would be really surprised if Apple goes that route.
I think the back of the Samsung S8 and the S7 and the Galaxy Note, I think they're hideous, man.
Yeah.
I think they're really gross.
Same thing with the Google Pixel. It's on the back of the phone, I think, on that, where the recent Google phone is. And it's like, eh.
I actually really like the Google Pixel. I think it's a good looking Android phone. I think Google's doing a good job in their industrial design. Like, all the products that they have released with their name on it, they all look pretty good.
Yeah, decent.
Even my Chromecast looks pretty decent.
Ugh.
Dude, don't diss the Chromecast.
All right, sorry.
It's so much better than the Apple TV in so many ways.
Okay.
Especially if you watch YouTube videos. Small tangent here. So I like the Apple TV that you could stream YouTube to it. That's probably one of my favorite things about it. Do you use that feature very often?
Oh, yeah. I probably watch YouTube more than anything on the Apple TV.
Me too. So the thing about the Apple TV, though, is if you're streaming it from the Mac, you have to have the browser open, and the computer is maintaining a consistent connection with the Apple TV. So if you close your browser, if you close your Mac, the broadcast stops. Mm-hmm. With the Chromecast, you have to use the Chrome browser. That's the only lame part about this. But you can queue up videos and then close your laptop. And the Chromecast is the device that's actually pulling the videos from YouTube. It's mm-hmm. not your computer. There's no link between your computer and the Chromecast once you've selected like which videos you want to watch. So you can just sit back and watch all of your YouTube content one after another on your TV. And it's one of the best YouTube experiences that I've used. It might even be the best experience there is out there. If you watch a lot of YouTube, definitely the way to do that if you don't want to just watch videos on your Mac screen. Okay. Are there any other rumors that we want to talk about with this? I think that was it. One of the things I did want to mention before we move on to the weird and the wacky stuff is this rumor that Apple trademarked or has pursued the trademark for PowerBook worldwide. PowerBook being one of the best computers that Apple ever released and was the predecessor to the MacBook and the MacBook Pro. I had a PowerBook. It was awesome. Gorgeous computer. And this got people to start thinking, do you think Apple is going to re-release the PowerBook? What do you think, Buster? Or a device that has the PowerBook name?
I doubt it. I bet they were just filing it to protect the trademark because it expired or something. I don't know if it did.
Do you know if it expired or are you just guessing about that?
I'm guessing on all of that, yeah. But PowerBook would be nice, like especially if they came out with a foldable iPhone or foldable iPad, you know, with like a foldable screen. That would be awesome.
I'm with you. I think that they were probably just covering their arses on this one and just probably trademarking it again because it might have been expiring or something.
Uh-huh.
And Apple has to be careful about all their intellectual property, right? They want to make sure that people aren't out there using these names. In fact, there was a story that I think you might have wrote this. This is from like 2015 or something, but this is the first I had heard about it. Is Swiss watchmaker Swatch, I'm sure you guys have all heard of Swatch, they went out and they trademarked the phrase one more thing for the watch market. I thought this was crazy, and this is why Apple has to be so careful. So I can't believe that Apple didn't trademark this before. You know, Steve Jobs' characteristic, one more thing, he's on stage. So I don't know if this means that Apple can't use it or what it means, but now Swatch owns the trademark in Germany. So they can use it at their events for sure, and it's questionable whether or not...
Well, they own it in Germany. Apple can still definitely use that in America.
In other markets? Yeah, they can use it in other markets for sure. What I didn't know was that the phrase was actually not something that Steve Jobs came up with. It was originally a quote by Columbo, Peter Falk's Columbo character. Did you ever watch that show? It was a really old show.
No, I never watched it.
I watched like probably like 5 episodes of it. So I guess he used to say that, and Steve Jobs repurposed it for the presentations, which I didn't know. But you know, what's funny is Steve Jobs was often misquoted. Like people think that there's certain things that he would say that he actually came up with. That he didn't actually come up with. He was just quoting somebody else. And you hear this all the time. One of the most popular phrases was stay hungry, stay foolish, which he talked about during a Stanford commencement address. And people always, you know, attribute it to him. But really, it was from this magazine that he used to love growing up called the Whole Earth Catalog. And in one of their final issues, it might even have been their last issue, they said, stay hungry, stay foolish. And Steve Jobs quoted that, and now people think that he came up with it himself, but it's actually not him at all. So you hear that a lot. Like people are like, man, Steve Jobs had these great one-liners. Well, yeah, but they often weren't his. They were things that he got from somewhere else. So anyway, let's go ahead and move on, dude, to the very last segment, the weird and wacky Apple products that time forgot. Oh, but before we do that, let me go ahead and say thank you to VideoBlocks for supporting this episode. VideoBlocks is an affordable, subscription-based stock media site that gives you unlimited access to premium stock footage. And VideoBlocks has one of the fastest-growing, largest stock video libraries with over 3 million videos, After Effects templates, and motion backgrounds. And this includes the only contributor marketplace that gives 100% of the commission back to the artists. This month, Videoblox is launching a new collection featuring hundreds of new Unreal clips, including space, VR, deep water, fantasy, and sci-fi footage. These now all come included with your subscription, and for a limited time, you can also get free 4K clips from the membership library at no additional cost. And the best part is the downloads are yours forever, even after your trial ends, and they are 100% royalty free. And our listeners can get 7 days of Videoblox absolutely free. All you have to do is head over to videoblox.com/cultcast. That's VideoBlox.com, videoblox.com/cultcast to start your 7-day free trial. Thanks to Videoblox for supporting this episode. Okay, onwards to the weird and the wacky products that Apple really hopes that you don't remember. They took them out back. They shot them. They buried them. They hope you would never know about them, but we have unearthed them for you here today. Buster, do you want to go first? Because I know you have a pretty weird one.
Okay, I'll start with my... It looks weird, but it's not that weird when you think about it. It's called the Power CD, and it was Apple's first separate portable CD player, and it worked as both a CD player for your Mac, and it let you watch CD images on your TV, and it also worked as just like a portable Walkman CD type player. Only
It was portable too.
Yeah, so it did all.
You wear that on your belt?
Yeah, you would look super nerdy, and it looks like it weighed a ton.
It was huge.
It was gigantic.
It was gigantic. I can't believe that was portable.
Yeah.
It looked awesome, though. That thing was so svelte. It looked like, and one of the products I'm going to pimp here in a minute, it looked like a piece of futuristic 90s tech. Like, if you were just, like, the ballerist 90s CEO, and you had, like, a blazer with super wide shoulders that had, like, a taper at the waist, this is what you would have on your desk. And you would probably have, like, a super trim mustache, and you drank Tab, you know?
Yeah.
This is what you'd be listening to CDs. Uh-huh. When you're at the gym with your headband on, you'd have your Power CD sitting there as you ran on the treadmill. Like, oh, actually, your Nordic track. and the thing failed, right? Eventually, they stopped selling it because people just weren't buying it.
Yeah. Well, it cost $500.
Which is actually a story that's pretty common with a lot of these products. Yeah. Like they seem like they might be pretty cool, but Apple priced them outrageously. Well, my pick along those same superpower 90 CEO line, probably something that was on his desk, was the 20th anniversary Mac. This thing is gorgeous. It looks like a movie prop. And if you were in the 90s and you saw this, you would be like, behold, this is the future of computing. I'll include a picture of this in the show notes, or at least a link to all this stuff, by the way. So this is one of the first Macs to be designed by Johnny Ive. It paved the way for the vertical design of the home computer. This is one of the first, if not the first, computer that Apple released that just had a all-in-one design. It was released 20 years after the initial founding of the company. So Apple was founded in 1976 by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, Ronald Wayne. And to commemorate the 20th anniversary of Apple, they released this machine. Check out some of these features, man. These are features that I wouldn't mind having on the Mac today. It featured a TV and FM tuner, an S video card, and a custom-made Bose sound system, which included two Juul speakers and a subwoofer built into the externally located power supply base unit. Upon unveiling the Mac, it was originally had a price tag of $9,000, but that would include a direct door-to-door concierge service. At the release, they immediately dropped the price to $7,500. And the problem was there was another computer out at the time called the PowerMac 6500, which had similar performance to the 20th anniversary Mac, but cost only $3,000. So eventually, they had to drop the price of the 20th anniversary Mac to $3,500. And 2 years later, they actually ended up dropping it to $2,000. And this is the best part of the story. Within 2 years, the price of this machine had dropped $7,000. And the customers who paid full price
were pissed,
yeah. Right? Just like with the original iPhone, when Apple released it at this high price. That happened to you, didn't it, Buster?
Yep. Here's $100.
You paid full price, then Apple drops
gift card. They dropped it $200, and they're like, oh, here's an Apple Store gift card for $100 to make up for that.
Yeah, well, that was not nearly as generous as what they offered these customers. Apple people were pissed, of course, and complained to Apple that the price was cut so drastically, and these people were offered a free high-end PowerBook as compensation. So at least they got a sweet ass computer and not just a lame $100 gift card to spend on apps. Okay, Buster, what else you got?
Okay, I'm gonna go with this one, which is a recent one that I don't think that we would think of. And you remember the iPod Shuffle?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember the third generation iPod Shuffle, where it was completely like over designed to where it didn't have like anything on it? It was just a little tiny
stick. It was
stick.
Just a stick of gum, right?
Yeah, it was just like looked like a stick of
I
gum.
I hated that thing.
Yeah, it was this.
I hated that thing.
Probably the stupidest music player Apple ever came out with. Like all of the controls, you had to use them on the headphones.
Right.
It was super tiny, so you were going to lose that freaking little thing so easy.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know why Apple came out with it. And then the next year after it, they went back to the old design. They were like, yeah, we effed that up. So we're going back.
Well, the part that really sucks is like, you feel like you're, I mean, how much was that thing? $50?
It had to have been a little bit more than that, but yeah, it was less than 100.
It's hard to pay that much money for something that is so simple.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it does anything.
Yeah. But it held like, you know, 5 gigs maybe songs. Of songs. Yeah, max.
Was it five?
It was, I think, probably it was one less. Gig, if I, yeah.
If I remember correctly, I think it was like 50 to 100 songs is all it held.
It's amazing. And people bought
it. It was something really small. All right, well, I'm going to wrap up with, I'm going to cheat here a little bit. This is a product that Apple actually never released. But this was a product they definitely should have released. It was, in all aspects, when you see the picture, you'll see what I mean. The father of the Apple Watch. It was called the Time Band. Can you see this thing in the show notes, Buster? Can you see this image?
It looks like...
Check that thing out, dude.
Something that somebody in the 90s dreamed of, you know? Like the glove from Nintendo. It's like, oh, they saw that and they were like, we got to do something like that.
This is some serious 90s dream tech. So this was a prototype, and that's why I said I was cheating. It's hard to imagine, but there was actually a time when Apple freely shared its concepts with the world. In 1991, Apple was under the leadership of John Sculley, and he worked with a Japanese magazine called Access to release a bunch of prototypes, Apple prototypes, stuff that Apple was working on, just to see what people would think about this stuff. And there's a whole group of these products that are just totally bizarre, crazy, wacky products. It was just stuff that Apple was, you know, trying to experiment with. And one of them was the Time Band. And if you've ever played Fallout 4, it's like the VATS computer that you wear on your wrist. It is ginormous. It looks like if a Newton had relations with an Apple Watch. That's and actually it was a menagerie, and there was a mouse there, a trackball there too, and there was a baby conceived during this process. This would be the result. It has like a bright orange trackball on the side of it, and does that look like a joystick on the left hand side?
Yeah.
It looks like a joystick,
like the,
and you wear this thing on your wrist.
How are you supposed to
you're using like the trackball?
Like how can
there's
you,
like a there's, look at this there's like a mouse button below the trackball too.
I know. And how are you supposed to use that? Like you can't use the joystick and the trackball at the same time.
It's one hand at a time, one hand operation at a time. And the interface looks exactly like a Newton. You could like scribble into it and stuff. So I think this was Apple's vision of future computing. Everyone was just going to be wearing a computer on the wrist. And funny enough, here we are, 2017, with a product that does most of these things, although it doesn't include like the trackball, which I think was a serious mistake. I think they need to add that to the Apple Watch, and a joystick. It just has like the touch interface. But tell me that is not a product that you would wear. If you could find one of these on eBay.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Dude, I would totally wear those. Mm-hmm. All righty, well, We'll definitely do this segment again in the future because I feel like we're just scratching the surface here. There are a bunch of products that I had to omit just for time's sake. We couldn't get into them this week. And I know Leander had a whole list of stuff that he wanted to go through too. So this is part two of the Weird and Wacky Apple Products Time Forgot. And we'll definitely have a part three coming up here sometime in the near future. But I think that's good enough. I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there, eh, Buster?
Oh, great.
We're out of bubbly.
Oh. Unfortunately.
The bubbles have stopped.
Yeah.
The hot tub is getting cold, so I think we should go ahead and call it good. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If there is an Apple product that is totally weird and wacky that you think that we should cover, reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Airfun. Buster is BST3R. Until next time, this has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Buster, you take this one.
Next time.
That's all I can do. So sexy. Sorry. I can tell that the hot tub really warmed up.
So warm. Get on now, I'm pruny.
All right, dude. Time to put our jean shorts back on.
I was wearing mine the whole time.
Oh, you were? Not me.
Oh, I crashed the drone.
Again?
It's dead.
What was this?
Yeah, it's gone for good now.
It's totally dead.
Yeah. I was filming my friend doing a fire jump, lighting himself on fire and jumping to the lake.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, and then I was like panning back from the shot, hit some reeds, and the f-ing drone just went bloop straight into the lake.
Sparks fly out or anything?
No.
Silent death?
Yeah, we recovered it, and dude, I was able to get some footage from it, but like, yeah, it's not gonna power back on anytime soon.
At least you can return it to DJI now.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, hey.
You should put that thing in a shoebox and just put stamps on it, just send it back to them, and they're like, what the hell is this? And they open it up, and it's just wires. Yeah. It looks like Clock Boy's school project.
Yeah, thanks for the review, guys.